ladies and gents. This here's Fish Fry. Come and get it! I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, and this week on EE Journal's Fish Fry, we're frying up some semiconductors. Not literally, because that might not be too tasty. But in this here Fish Fry for December, we're throwing some F4 on the Barbie and frying up a little silicon. E-silicon, to be exact. My guest is none other than EE Master Chef Mike Gianfagna. Mike always joins Fish Fry around this time of year. We all sit down and have an amuse-bouche or two and chat about the state of the semiconductor union. Where it's at. Where it's going. And what Mike is cooking for Christmas. Seriously, could I get some catering services up in here? Thanks. Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Amelia, it's always good to talk to you.
So, Mike, last time I checked, you have a different business card? E-Silicon? Now, I heard an interesting tagline the other day. You guys are putting the E back into E-Silicon. What's that all about?
With a smile on my face, I could say, yeah, I have a different business card, but if I had only kept my old business cards, I probably could have recycled it. It turns out that I was a very early employee here at eSilicon. I'm not sure. I joined probably a couple days after the Series A check cleared the bank, so that would have made me employee 6 or 7, something like that. And back in the early days, the company had a vision for essentially changing the way semiconductor technology was accessed, heavily leveraging the internet as a marketplace and a place where people could coordinate supply chain and get complex technical questions answered in an easy way. Now, that was the vision behind the company for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the internet economy, you may recall, collapsed in 2000, literally a few months after we formed the company. We redirected the company in a different direction and actually invented the fabless ASIC model and changed the landscape of semiconductor, but in a different way. So the fabless ASIC model worked very well. A lot of other companies have moved into that space and imitated and created other versions of that model, if you will. But the original vision of a full online experience was kind of put on the shelf. Fast forward to today, things are very different. The internet is back with a vengeance. In fact, very complex B2B solutions are being delivered every day on the internet. So what was a very new area back in 2000 is kind of routine, frankly, today. And the company has built a tremendous amount of technology internally that is helping to automate its business operations every day around easier access to a complex supply chain as well as ways of answering complex technical questions quickly and reliably. So the opportunity now is to take some of that technology and make it available to the end user and not just our employees, and in the process make good on our original vision of an online experience for the customers that will, we believe, change the face of semiconductor design and manufacturing again, and finally make the E and E silicon mean something significant. So that's kind of what that's all about, and that's why I'm back.
Last year around this time, we talked on Fish Fry about the EDA State of the Union. So, Mike, look deep into your crystal ball for me. Where is the semiconductor industry headed next year? What kind of big trends are we going to see?
That's a great question, Amelia, and that's a little bit of what's exciting to me about being back here at eSilicon, because I think we legitimately have an opportunity to participate in what I believe are going to be some fairly significant trends in the next year and beyond. So one way to look at this is there's an odd thing going on in semiconductors. Best way to predict the future is to look at the past a little bit. And if we go back to, say the early to mid-1980s, a very interesting thing happened then. Companies like LSI Logic were formed, VLSI Technology was there, the ASIC industry was born. And what that did is it made custom silicon no longer a rich person's game. It no longer was just the gargantuan company that had its own fab and its own design team that could build custom chip. It sort of democratized the industry, if you will, and more people were able to build custom silicon with automated place and route and libraries, the early versions of semiconductor IP, if you will. So it became a mass market thing where everybody could access silicon. Well, as we fast forward to today, it's kind of going the other way again, isn't it? At 20 nanometer and below, the number of foundries in the world that can do that is decreasing, not increasing. You can certainly count them on one hand, that's for sure. the number of applications that can survive that outrageous cost is also decreasing. Handheld cell phone applications and tablet applications are driving a huge percentage of the semiconductor consumption in the world. And the number of companies that have the wherewithal to design those chips is also not growing. It's shrinking. So you've got an interesting situation where the industry is, I won't say collapsing, but certainly shrinking. The number of transistors shipped is about the same or going up. The amount of wafers being processed is going up. But the number of companies driving the ecosystem is actually going down. And I believe that will change. I believe that the universe is inherently cyclic in nature, and it's time for the cycle to move in the other direction. So my prediction is that you're going to start to see things happen in 2014 that will start to change that shift and start to once again democratize the access to advanced silicon technology and increase rather than decrease the number of design starts and companies participating in the ecosystem. And the amount of wealth being created, I think, will increase. It'll diversify. And I think we're in for some very exciting times in the years ahead as we watch semiconductor once again become more accessible to more people. So that's kind of my top-line prediction. I can cite kind of three trends that I think help to make this happen. So there's kind of three things. One is this whole thing about put everything on one chip. That's running out of gas. You know, the people have been saying that Moore's Law is running out of steam, that there's no more road in the semiconductor technology roadmap, that things are converging and getting stifled. And I don't believe that. And I think the antidote to that is the whole 2.5D and 3D, what you might call more than more revolution that's been going on, where you no longer have to put everything on one slice of silicon, but you can have a system composed of heterogeneous slices of silicon. I think 2.5D is going to become very real next year. I think people should watch specifically around the advancements and the innovations in the interposer, that material that's used to connect those chips together. I think there's going to be some dramatic innovations in that area that will make it more routine to say that I'm building a system, I don't have to fit it all on one 16-nanometer chip. I can have slices that are 16-nanometer for high performance. I can have memory slices. I can have analog slices that are in a different technology, and I can integrate those into one system. So that will create, in my opinion, more design starts and more opportunity for more companies. The next thing that I think is happening is I think there's a very exciting trend going on around, you know, for lack of a better term, let's call it Internet of Things. It's really the ubiquitous deployment of semiconductor technology and everyday stuff. You know, we're seeing a lot of advances in home automation. I think there'll be some breakthroughs in the next 12 months in terms of the hub and the architecture, if you will, of home automation. It's a very fragmented market now. I think you'll see some convergence in integration technology that will make it a more well-defined market and bring more consumers to the table. Silicon's going to be in everything. Why aren't all roof tiles solar? Why don't wall boards have transducers in them for temperature, pressure, and sound? You know, these things are going to happen. There's going to be a dramatic increase in the amount of semiconductor content in everyday things. We've already seen it in automobiles, right? I mean, the semiconductor content in cars has gone way up. You're going to see that everywhere. And I think that's going to drive more design starts, more silicon consumption. By the way, not necessarily on the cutting-edge technology nodes, but on maybe previous technology nodes, because a lot of this stuff isn't all that complex from a digital processing point of view, but it requires the integration of analog, transducers, wireless, in a very small form factor at a very low cost, but with outrageously high volumes. And I think the third thing that's happening is, let's just call it simplified access through the Internet. I find it amusing that the semiconductor industry pretty much made the Internet possible, the server and cloud-based technology that we invented. Yet if you look at the semiconductor industry itself, it doesn't use the Internet very effectively for its own business, and I find that amusing. So I think that a prediction I will make is that the semiconductor supply chain is coming to a handheld device, that it's coming to your laptop, it's coming to your iPad, it's coming to your cell phone. Be ready for it. Easier access to complex technology and ways of answering very difficult technical questions more easily is coming. The technology exists behind firewalls. It's high time it's made available to the end user to make their life simpler. And that has shades of the E and E silicon that I mentioned earlier. So all these things are, that eSilicon is participating in various ways. So that's the exciting part to me. But I think it's obviously much bigger than just our company. I think it's an industry-wide trend, and it's going to make for exciting times ahead and growth in lots of different areas, which I think would be a really great thing to see, frankly, the pendulum swing the other way and have, you know, not a dozen companies driving the future semiconductor, but hundreds of companies. And I think it's going to happen.
All right, the holiday season is in full swing. And this being Fish Fry, I'm going to ask you about food. What's on the Gianfagna menu for Christmas this year?
Yeah, so that's a great question, Amelia. Back in the good old days, we would create, you know, a big party and have lots of people over and be all kinds of great things on the menu. But in recent years, you know, people have moved away. People moved here and there. You know, my wife and I are both from the East Coast. So come Christmas time, there's an obvious place to be, and it's not in the Bay Area. It's in the New York, New Jersey area, which is where all our family is. So every year we go back for the Christmas holidays and spend it with family and friends in New York and New Jersey. And specifically on Christmas Day, we'll be in Brooklyn, New York at my cousin's house. Every year we do that. And it's a smorgasbord of some of the best Italian food on the planet. The epicenter, in my opinion, of the greatest lasagna in the world, the only pizza that makes a difference in the world, and, you know, on and on and on, baked ziti, you name it. We provide the wine, they provide the food. It's a great divisional labor.
Sounds fantastic. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mike. It's always a pleasure speaking with you.
Same here, Mia, and you enjoy the holiday as well. Have a great time.
And now it's time for a little news you may have missed. Holiday edition. Now let me see some hands. Virtual hands will do. I'm not spying on you just yet. How many of you at some time in your life wrote the words Iron Man suit on your holiday wish list? I know I did. Heck, there's even a list on my refrigerator right at this very moment that says the same thing. Boy, writing in crayon with my left hand was kind of taxing. Well, folks, my and your dreams of an Iron Man suit may not have to wait on good old Jolly Saint Nick any longer. You see, a crowdsourcing project has sprung up with the aptly named title Iron Man Factory. Yes! So with a pledge of only around $2,000, you can get yourself a complete Iron Man costume. I mean, a suit that is made from 3D printed parts to look like Iron Man and is equipped with metal joints and LED arc reactor. It's fake though, right? Okay. Phew. And even a helmet that slides up to reveal your face. So cool. So, there's a couple issues with this crowdsourcing project. Number one, and it's a big one, if you plunk down that $2K in couch change, your suit won't actually get shipped to you until 6 to 8 months after the Iron Man factory has reached its minimum 5,000 orders. Huh, okay. And number two, well, there's that licensing thing. It seems that the Iron Man factory hasn't quite got the approval of Marvel yet. You know, the company that owns Iron Man. So there's that. I would put a link at the bottom of the player so you could order your own Iron Man suit or at least pledge money toward an Iron Man suit, but it seems that that site is down. Huh, wonder why. Well, I'll put another link down there for more information, and we'll be waiting for Iron Man Factory to get their Marvel ducks in a line. Please, guys. And now it's time for my obligatory EE Journal social media message. And they say engineers don't use social media. Well, if you haven't gotten around to liking us on Facebook, you should, if just to say you did. You can like us at facebook.com/EEJournal. You can also check out our tweets at EEJournalTFM and join our circle on Google+, if you're into that sort of thing. Oh yes, and by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed and subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. Well, that's all there is for this week's Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or perhaps the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of December 20th, 2013, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.